So there's a community board meeting happening tomorrow. It's the first one of the year. John, it's the first time we've had a discussion this year. Is there any grand statements you'd like to make at the moment? Are we just going to go into our list?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. So the community board, I haven't thought about stuff for a couple of months to do with them.
I don't think they have either.
No, everyone. Well, it's summer in Raglan. It's very distracting from sort of conventional normal life.
So it's quite a short agenda. Well, shorter than it should be, I think, because there's a whole load of things that seem to be happening which aren't on their agenda.
Okay. So you've put a list of things following the official agenda, have you, on this list we've got here?
Yes. So yeah. Should we go through the official agenda and then go through what I think ought to be on it?
So the Wainui Beach car park, what's happening there?
Well, they're resealing a whole load of car parks. It's about $250,000 each.
All right.
So this is simply to say that it's happening. I put these up at the top of the list because they haven't been on the agenda for a while. So effectively, they're new things happening. So Wainui Beach, Papahui Recreation Reserve, and Raglan.
So some of Papahua has been already been fixed up, the far end of that road there. But when you get somewhere near the toilet block, the first toilet block.
Well, this is talking about campground to the end of the car park.
Between the campground and end car park will be upgraded. That's a little vague. But we can all, when you drive down there, you can see the bits that are new and the bits that are falling apart. So hopefully it's the falling apart bits that they'll fix.
And there's a sign there to tell you that they are going to do some work.
Right. They did announce that last year, I noticed. But, we haven't been taking notice of those things. What was that, the one I interrupted?
They've also redone the entrance to Raglan Library so that when it's wet, you don't slip on the concrete there.
Okay, is that just a non-slip coating?
Yep.
Okay. And now Privet. Fourth on your list is Privet. John, what's happening with Privet? There's a lot of it.
I think it's just a seasonal thing. That, if you look around, there's lots of white bushes. And people have been complaining to council that they ought to be getting rid of it. So council's come up with the excuse that most people who experience symptoms during the privet flowering season are reacting to the more allergic pollens such as grasses, weeds, mainly English plantain, or trees such as birch and olive.
Is it a noxious weed, privet? Is it on the list?
Well, it's one of those that you can be required to remove, but it's not mandatory, so you don't have to remove it unless somebody asks you to.
So, but couldn't a council ask you to?
Yes, well, they can. That's why people are putting in complaints.
Is it the district council or the regional council?
I think it's district council.
Okay,
that's why it's on their agenda.
Fair enough. That's a pretty good clue. I remember a neighbour when I lived down Cross Street years ago. A neighbour of ours over the road got a letter from one of the councils saying that they had noxious weeds that they had to get rid of. So, actually, that, at that time, that was one of the coordinators at the Environment Centre, ironically enough. So she's a bit mortified about that. So that can happen. So if someone sees a lot of privet around, they can complain to the council and the council will send a letter. Is that what should happen?
Yes. Well, except it looks from this report as though council saying, well, it's not necessarily the privet. It may well be all these other things that you're suffering from.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what to say. I
can't imagine it being a long debate, but it was brought up by one of the community board members, so she might be keen to have it discussed.
Okay. And the 2024-34 long-term plan, that's the council's big spend-up plan, folks, which is in the process at the moment and going to be decided later this year, in the first half of this year. It says something about overflow car parking. It says a lot of things, John.
These are all verbal reports, so we don't, until tomorrow afternoon, we don't actually know what it's all about.
Yeah.
We have seen the various workshops that have been done and reported, or some of them have been reported on the council's website for the long-term plan. So we know that they've been working a lot on that, and there's quite a lot that's going to be coming up, but we're going to get consulted on that next month. So we'll see the detail of that. Presumably it's going to be an outline of what's going to affect this area. And the overflow car parking, I'm not quite sure whether that's on Winery Reserve or somewhere else. That's the only clue that we've got on the agenda as to what it's about. And waste collection, again, not sure what that one's about, whether people have been complaining over the holiday period that the litter bins haven't been emptied enough, which is a seasonal problem we always seem to have. And the councillors' reports, we've got our local ward councillor and our Māori ward councillor who are maybe going to give verbal reports tomorrow. And also the community board members, like the people on the town hall committee or the Raglan Naturally committee or the various other committees that the community board's represented on. So presumably they've all been like you off for a while and not got round to writing reports.
Well, I don't have to write reports, thankfully.
you just write applications for funding.
Yes.
Which you've got on the agenda.
Yes. So the state,
we'll
the radio station.
Talk about that in a minute or two.
Shall we? Okay, we'll delay that. It's not very exciting. Actually, to be honest, not all of the stuff is very exciting. The Wee Nearer walkway, that's exciting if you fall off it, and they are constructing a balustrade at the moment. Or no, they are applying for consent.
Yes.
And will, if they get it, construct a balustrade.
Yep. So, again, not very exciting as far as news is concerned, because we've pretty much heard that before. And also that what they're now calling the southern seawall, which is the bit on the Raglan West side of the bridge, is dependent on the long-term plan budget. So that's going to be another part of a long-term plan discussion that we were just mentioning.
Hold on, the southern seawall, isn't that the bit between the walk bridge and the
fire station? Yes.
So that's the eastern. I think that's the eastern. I think I've got you, John.
Well, Raglan West is beyond it, so I'm guessing that it's west. But on the other hand, Carrioy is to the south of us, and you look at Carrioy from there.
So. Yeah, we're going to say, I mean, this is a very boring detail, but we're just going to say the bit on the way around to the fire station from the walk bridge. And it's got big, the wall there's got big holes in it. You can see why people might think it might fall apart. And they did some work on that, the wall on the northern side, and it just looked like sort of mushing concrete into the wall, basically, is what they did. Maybe there was more to it than that, but
it seems to me that they should have spent $6 million on that rather than spending on the wharf, but
that's
their ideas of priorities are different to mine.
Well, but that's, you know, that's government funding. Like, the government says, hey, we've got this fund. The politicians are like, we've got this fund, I've got this great fund, this provincial growth fund, but you have to all spend the money really quickly so that by the next election I can tell people that I've achieved something. And so they go to the councils and then they say, what have you already got planned? And do that.
And they hadn't got planned to repair a wall that was obviously falling apart.
No, but the Provincial Growth Fund was the first bit of work at the wharf. The more recent one was another fund from the government. Yeah, so it's they don't really get to choose in any meaningful way.
I'm not convinced about that. Let's move on, yeah.
It's a rushed decision.
A new idea they've got, which might solve this problem, is community board plans. So they're asking community boards to do their own version of a long-term plan, looking at what's happening over the next 3 years and transition away from the current works actions and issues report to start reporting on progress with your aspirations and how they will link into the four well-beings, the community, economic, social, environmental and cultural well-beings.
You said it's five, John.
So we'll see how well that works and whether we do get things prioritised that should be prioritised rather than those that are lesser priorities.
It does sound like a good idea to ask locally what the priorities are rather than the people who live in Hamilton and work in Narawahia trying to guess themselves. So, I mean, that sounds like a good move to me. We'll see how it goes. Civil defence, John? I know what you're going to say.
Again, not much change there, except we plan another meeting in the next 2 months.
Okay, which you and I will be at. Well, I will be.
Sound Splash, they're going to have a discussion with the Chief Financial Officer on whether Sound Splash is paying enough to the community for using and disrupting the Wainui Reserve.
Yeah, that's been driven by people on the community board, that one. It hasn't been driven by staff. And I know that just behind the scenes, Well, this, you hear a lot of stuff that you don't say on the radio, but there's questions
about...
You're
going to tell us all now.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm just going to say that there's comparisons made to other venues and other councils and other sites, but I would have questions about the cost at other venues, whether they're getting the same level of service, because mostly what Soundsplash gets out of Wainui Reserve is fields and car parking and not a heck of a lot else. So, yeah. I feel the need to a little bit, not to stick up for Soundsplash, but to stick up for something that young people enjoy. I watched when the motor rally came through, and that was something that a lot of middle-aged people enjoy, and they were quite vocal about that. And one member of the community board wrote a letter to the council in support of it. That was Chris. It's just the
That's mainly Chris who's been questioning how much they're charging Soundsplash for the Wainui Reserve, because he's got more experience in that area than anybody else, I think.
Yeah, but I'm just coming back to like what I'm saying. Like, I feel the need to stick up for something that the kids enjoy, because they don't have a voice like the way middle-aged people do. But when the rally came through, I just felt like they were using us for a pretty backdrop. And it was a busy day in the middle of town, but we couldn't walk across our own main street or anything. And then they packed up and left. And that was that. Whereas Soundsplash is embedded in the community and contributes in other ways as well. So, yeah, I have said that to the board. I'm not unprompted by anyone from Soundsplash. It's just, I just generally feel that young people don't have the voice that they should have, or they get ignored. So, yeah. It's just a little soapbox moment for me. Moving yep. on.
So they've got a report on the wharf. So it's a progress report saying that work should have started yesterday. I didn't go down yesterday, so I don't know whether it did, but they're finishing off that bit, and they're doing that up until the 18th of March. Manu Bay Breakwater, we keep talking about this one, and we keep having excuses for nothing happening. As I understand, it was $2 million in the long-term plan, so it is planned that something will happen.
But that's still at the level of staff suggestion,
yes.
And the councillors still have to vote. Like I think they have to decide what percentage rate rise they're going to have, which means how much money, and then they go through and cut things out of the staff list of the staff's idealised list of what they would do if they had enough money, and that could yet go.
But the current excuse is that the peer reviewer is still to complete his assessment.
Yeah, and that's true. And people are very frustrated. Dennis Amor, the community board chairperson. Why are people ringing me?
If they realise you're doing an interview and it's a great time to ring.
Yeah, well, we are on the air. So, Dennis Amor, he's used to working in the private sector and the construction industry and getting things done quickly, and that has not moved very fast. I think one of the problems is after Cyclone Gabrielle that all of the engineering and construction industry suddenly become very busy with urgent projects to fix up Cyclone Gabrielle, and I know that's still happening, like Coromandel, now that they've got State Highway 25A fixed, they can go and repair all the other roads. So, yeah, that's the background of that, but ultimately it is one more delay.
Another thing that's been on the agenda for ages is closed circuit TV in the centre of town. So apparently they've updated and agreed locations, but they've not told us what they are. So maybe we'll find out what those are tomorrow.
Don't we want to keep them secret? Wouldn't they be more effective if they were secret, John?
I don't know. People have got concerns about where cameras are watching them. So,
yeah.
It's not one of my concerns, but some people do worry about whether they're being watched.
Okay, well, I know people. Work has been going on behind the scenes on that one, so it's been making progress, slowly. Greenslade Road Reserve Playgrounds. What's happening
again
there?
Again, awaiting for result of consultation. Former Community Board Chair Gabrielle said she was going to talk to the locals, and apparently she's not reported back yet. So
that's about what sort of playground they're going to have?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, what's happening at the campground?
Campground, they're designing the stormwater upgrade, which, again, seems to have been around for a long time. So how long it's going to take and when it's going to get done, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought that was resolved a few years ago, but it's evident from the state of the soccer field that it hasn't been all through last year. Art Centre car park repairs. We know we've got beautiful smooth concrete over there.
Apparently there's some minor defects that they're working through with the contractor.
That's fairly, I'd say that's fairly normal at the end of a project. There's some little things that need fixing up. The Harbour Beacon.
Yeah, that's now working, and we still don't know who it was raised for. So I'm still looking around town to see which building is going to get raised that would have blocked the Harbour Beacon.
So we spent how much on raising it? Because
About a quarter of a million.
Somebody wanted to put an extra story on the house?
Yes.
Okay, well, I guess that'll become apparent fairly soon.
And I still don't understand why we as ratepayers paid for it.
No, that's a good question, but it all kind of went through and happened, and that was that. This funding?
Oh, the funding rounds, there's a suggestion that since they've actually pretty much run out of money for giving out to organisations this financial year, they ought to split it up into two or three chunks so that they don't run out at the end of the year. Which brings us on to the application from Raglan Community Radio.
They've never had trouble pacing themselves before. They just know, oh, we've got 9 months to go and we've got this much money. We're not going to spend too much.
Well, they've now got $6,765 to give to Extreme Zero Waste, who want $100 more than that for Moy Dolphin Day, and Raglan Community Radio, who want another $1,200 for replacing the transmitter.
Yeah, our transmitter unit's got a little bit old and a little bit wobbly, and we don't think it's in... I mean, it's still working fine, but we don't consider it to be reliable, or the experts don't consider it to be reliable enough for if a civil defence emergency were to happen and we were caught short. So
yep, and the community board's caught short because they've got $6,000 to give for $8,000 of applications.
That's all right, though, because that's what happens with funding things. Like, most funders get oversubscribed two or three times as much.
Well, they're now thinking that they ought to split it up and not give all the money away at the beginning of their financial year, but spread it out over the year.
All right. Well, let's move on from that. John, what else? What are the things that are not specifically on the community board's agenda?
Well, we've not talked about sewage, which is unusual for a community board.
We're always talking about... Do you know what? I was looking up, because this is our 30th year... I was looking up some old recordings, and I grabbed one of my very first news bulletins from when I started the show 10 years ago, and the very first item on it was about sewage spill. I was like, how could this be? But yeah.
And maybe the community board's fed up with having it on its agenda, so it's having a break from it. But
are there any actual... Well, there were issues last year.
Yeah, Friday the 8th of December is the one that they should have had reported to them.
There was another report that was going to come out like right on Christmas. Like, it was debatable whether it would arrive before everyone broke for Christmas. So yeah, that's a good point. And that was about the most recent...
Yeah, well, that was about the reporting the Friday 8th of December spill.
Right, yeah.
Well, it wasn't a spill, it was a deliberate pumping because they thought the ponds were going to overflow when they went.
Yeah, it sounded like there was a staff member out here who was left with no support and just had to make a decision on the spot. Couldn't get hold of...
Without enough information. Yeah.
Yeah, couldn't get hold of anyone else that they needed to get hold of, so, yeah.
So for an hour and 20 minutes, they pumped partially treated sewage out into the sea.
It hadn't had the UV treatment plant, a UV treatment part of the process.
Yeah, which isn't working properly anyway, which is the problem. So, and there's also a report on that, and again, I think, it ought to be on the community board agenda for tomorrow, but as far as I can see, it's not. And they're also doing an investigation as to why there was pollution around the museum area and whether there's some contamination coming out from the old tip that the museum was built on top of.
Because there were some spot checks, like days where they were doing lots of testing, and every now and again there'd be a day with a sky-high positive test for which?
Yep, you've got it right.
But for which substance? E. coli?
Yes.
No, E. coli.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, like really high, and then the next time they tested, it's fine again. So no one's really quite sure what's going on, and if it's that kind of sporadic thing, it's a bit hard to work out, but theoretically they are. I've forgotten about all that, John. Over Christmas?
Well, the community board seems to have forgotten about it as well, or at least the... I'm never quite sure who sets the community board agenda, whether it's
staff,
the community board
it?
Or whether it's the staff.
But I feel like it's... Well, the staff write it.
So why aren't these things on it? I'm looking at the Waters Governance Board agenda. So they're meeting tomorrow.
Yeah.
So tomorrow morning they're meeting, tomorrow afternoon the community board's meeting. We should have mentioned that, by the way. It's 1:30 in the supper room at the town hall for the community board meeting.
Yeah, any issues you've got, bring them along. You're glad to have a chat.
So, yeah, there's the sewage issue. I've not quite finished with that because they've also reported that they've done over 90% of the sewer network in Raglan. They've looked at it with CCTV. So those checks have been done, which hopefully means it's going to be in a better condition than it has been.
Well, they're just checking it. It doesn't mean they've fixed it, does it?
At least they know where the problems are, which is a start.
I mean, sometimes that can be a frustration because you do the checking, like, oh, we've got all this work to do and no budget. So hopefully that's not the situation. I don't know why I'm going for the most negative outcome there. That's just what came out of my mouth, basically, John.
And the other issue is that every couple of months they're reporting on their plans for the new sewage works. And there were only a couple of us from the community on that call last week, but that's not reported to the community board either. So it seems to me that looking at a land disposal option on Wainui Reserve is something that the community ought to be looking at and discussing.
So is that what the we're saying the Waters Governance Board?
That's the latest idea that they're coming up with.
So
expensive. They've actually now got the Memorandum of Understanding for Mangatawhiri Road, but they're now saying that's too expensive an option, so why they spent all that time and effort actually researching it and getting the agreement, and now they're saying it's too expensive anyway.
So they were negotiating with the landowner?
Yes.
And the landowner was Raglan Land Company?
Yes.
Are we sure of that? Can I say that? I've said it. No, I'm pretty sure. I think
you're right. Yeah.
It's quite well known. Okay, so we don't know what happened with those negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
But they will have chosen the best negotiators in the town to discuss things with. So, I can imagine you might. I don't know, what can we say? We can't say what happened. We're guessing.
Well, we don't know the detail, but for some reason they've decided it's too expensive. But they've not come up with any figures for any of these, and they've not said that Wainui Reserve is a practicable option. So they're now investigating that. But you might remember that, what's it, about 15 years ago, they investigated Wainui Reserve and decided that there was too much clay there and they couldn't do anything with it because the water just runs off the clay. That's why I think the community board ought to be discussing things like this. And it puzzles me that it's not on their agenda. They've also reported that they are actually starting on upgrading the sewage works. So they're now putting in the membrane, which was first proposed in 2018, but now 6 years later, they're finally getting around to doing it.
So this is a gee whiz machine that makes water really clean.
Well, they're claiming it will halve the pollution that comes out of the sewage works.
I think this is the same thing.
That still leaves the other half.
Yeah, Lisa talked about one of these that they put in at Merimeri, and they were there and the engineer showed them, like, turned on the tap at the end and let the water out and washed his hands under the water. He didn't drink it, but still, that seems pretty clean to me if they're happy to, you know, let it run over their hands.
Except if they're still proposing just to pump it into the sea, either by putting it overland into the sea from Wainui Reserve or putting it straight into the sea where it currently goes out, it doesn't seem to me that it's actually making a huge difference in the amount of pollutants that's going in the sea.
It should be cleaner though.
Yeah, it would be twice as clean as the current output. But
so half as many pollutants, John?
Yes.
Right, there we go. That's significant.
It's an improvement.
I'm not going to knock that.
It's still not got there.
It has to meet standards set by the government, doesn't it? As measured by the regional council.
Well, that's pretty low, yeah.
Okay.
In Auckland's got closed beaches all over the place because their sewage went in the sea.
Yeah,
Wellington's not much better.
We're not alone in having these problems. And in fact, yeah, we seem to be doing better than some of those places, which is, I guess that's something too. John, we've got a couple of minutes left. What else do you want to bring us?
The regional council's proposing to put bus fares up by 20%.
20%?
Which seems to me to be a massive increase. They're saying it will cut the number of bus users by 4%, but that's purely a guess. And it seems to me that cutting the number of people using buses when we've got climate change is not the right way to be going, especially when you look at the cost of it, because I worked out how much it would cost me if they didn't do that, and it would be about 60 cents a year.
Do you think this is something to do with the fact that they had to find an extra $1 million in order to pay their drivers enough money to attract drivers to the job last
year? That was part of a discussion at regional council, yes.
Yeah, okay.
But in terms of regional council spending, as I say, it's minute. So although I pay over $600 a year to the regional council, the saving on this would be about 60 cents. So it seems to me that it's poor value for money, especially since half the saving goes back to the government, because half of it goes back to Wakatai, who are also subsidising the buses, and to cut bus use by 4% just by increasing fares by a whopping 20% seems the wrong way to be going.
Yeah, they're scrabbling around for money, aren't they?
Well, this seems to be scraping in the wrong place, and as I say, being particularly inefficient, because half of it goes back to government anyway.
Yeah, yeah, that's...
And in terms of government spending, it's even more minute than in terms of regional council spending. So.
Yeah, well, I don't think we've got a government that's going to be terribly sympathetic to public transport at the moment.
We have also got Future Proof, which is open for consultation until next Monday.
What does that mean, Future Proof?
Well, one of the things in there is that apparently they've still not done what they call a corridor study. So looking at whether State Highway 23 can be improved enough to cope with 12,000 people rather than 3,000.
They move so slow at Waka Kotahi.
Well, it's not them. It's the Future Proof organisation that haven't done the study. And they've done the study for all the other areas where they want to increase population. But it seems rather odd to be deciding to increase the population but not know whether you can actually move the people around.
Well, Waka Kotahi has done some study. They've done studies about how much what they should change the speed limit to along State Highway 23.
Yeah, well, they've looked at safety issues, but that's for the current use, not for getting 12,000 people along there.
But they haven't done anything about it. They think they are doing something. They move so slowly that if it takes them 3 or 4 years between doing a study and implementing things, that's perfectly normal, I think. But in the meantime, the Greenslade Road intersection becomes increasingly hair-raising with the more traffic that comes through.
All the intersections along there, yeah. You look at the crash map and they've all got crash, dangerous crashes.
Yeah. Okay. John, I'll give you a minute. What else do you want to do? You've got lots of stuff here, I see. Lots of info. But pick out your highlights.
Well, I'm not sure whether... I think the community board ought to be discussing the Todd Energy application to renew their consent for getting gas about 40 kilometres off the coast.
So is there a machine drilling for gas out there?
Well, they did test it, and we did have the protests about what was then a MOCO.
Oh, okay, so they're just renewing the consent so they don't lose it.
Yep.
Right, okay, yep.
But it seems to me to be a bad sign.
Well... They're not going to give up something
I think that pretty much covers the issues which I think ought to be on the agenda. And I've listed a whole load of things which they forget, and I gradually add to these and tick off the ones that are either out of date or which have been dealt with. But there's still a long list of things like the town hall warrant of fitness that we talk about from time to time. Whether when the earthquake comes, this beam's going to fall on us. Eh?
Parapet walls, John, that's what I'm afraid of here. But we've got this big thick slab of macrocarpa for a desk, so I might be able to hide under there.
But there's a whole list of things there which I think the community board ought to look at from time to time, and credit to one or two community board members who do bring them up from time to time. But yes.
Okay. All right, well, there we go. John's been in. He's told us about that. You'll be on the air tonight as well, John, from 7?
Yeah, apologies for last week. I thought I'd be able to do it from Auckland, but my battery went flat. So.
Ah, okay. I wondered. That's the first time you've missed a show in a long time. So from 6?
Yes.
And have I done any interviews? You often replay my interviews, but I haven't done a lot of stuff that you'd like to play.
Yep.
I'll
probably go through this in more detail because we've skimmed through it pretty quickly.
Yeah, there is a lot more. If you want to know the full detail... about rates and future-proof strategy and even what that means. John will explain it very clearly for you tonight. Thanks for coming in, John.
Good. Good, thank you.
All right, we are going to talk to Michael Bennett next about a filmmaking workshop or a creative writing workshop that's on this weekend here in Whangaroa.